Thank you to the choir for your leadership in worship and music this morning. It's been very uplifting. And thank you for having me. I was sad to hear that Bruce is feeling under the weather, but delighted to come and be part of your worship service this morning. Well, this morning we're pondering calling. And I was thinking back to a time when I was working in hospital, and some church group, without authorization, placed tracts around the hospital, and the tracts in big capital letters quoted the psalm saying, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And this triggered complaints right up to the highest levels in the organization, wondering how we could allow such racist material in the organization. And in a world that is rightfully sensitive to any material that would promote discrimination or a right to stand up to anything that would suggest ethnic cleansing, this is how they interpreted washing whiter than snow was an encouragement for some type of ethnic cleansing or discrimination. And the original meaning of this psalm was obviously lost, and I spent quite a bit of time not defending people putting tracts around hospitals that might otherwise be insensitive for other reasons, but explaining that the language was not intended to be racist, but that the original meaning was that God cleanses us of our sins and makes us holy, and that sheep's wool was washed whiter than snow, and that was the image that was in the Psalms. So much of the word white was lost to the audience that was comparing it to other things that they understood. So this morning, as I was talking about being called, I think also this is a term that is slowly losing its meaning outside of the church, and perhaps even inside of the church as ways of communicating have changed, as you could, you know, hear the children talk about telegraphs through to emails and messaging and communicating in ways that we have not in the past. So what does it mean when we are called? And if we turn this around and ask, what do those listening outside of the church hear when someone says, "I'm going to call you"? They hear the language of telephone, of connection, of trying to meet in a way that is at least auditory. And then sometimes we hear people call, say they are called to do some type of work. And sometimes they mean that God is calling them, but often the language of God is somehow lost in that. For them, it is a deep expression of love and devotion and commitment to their causes or action. To be called is to look beyond the money of a paycheck for many people, or the sacrifices of education, and follow something that is meaningful, that maybe is more meaningful than what they would receive for pay. And I remembered when I was thinking of coming into ministry, somebody said to me, "You know, you'll either love it so much the paycheck will be irrelevant, or you'll make enough money that the work will be okay." You know, and it's like, well, I don't know what that is, but when we're called, it is a deep intrinsic motivation for something that often does not offer rewards that would coincide with the sacrifice that is made. In fact, many looking from the outside wonder why you would even make an investment of time in something that often appears fruitless or sometimes even futile. And we've seen this throughout history, as many figures in the church have gone on to start projects that you're thinking, that's a huge investment of time and not a lot of reward in the way the world would say is reward. And such was the calling of Christ. First to brothers Simon and Andrew, and then to two more brothers, James and John. It struck me this time how in the middle of their activities, they were just there working away, and they weren't doing their hobbies. You know, fishing for us is by and large a hobby, unless you're out in the east or west coast. But they were in the middle of making their livings as fishermen. And their calling implies that both cases that Simon and Andrew were in the middle of repairing and getting ready to cast their nets. And they left them behind. They were in the middle of getting ready to support themselves and their families and their communities. They were repairing and getting their nets set and standing in boats and on the shore and working away. And they just dropped all of that. They dropped what was important to them, what was most, that was going to allow them to continue to function, and just put it down. And I wonder how many of us, if you arrived at work and most of us get a cup of coffee and go open up our email and get ready to sell or meet or do all those things, just bring to your mind your activities of your working day, and Jesus knocks on the door or calls you on the phone or sends you that email and says, you know, meet me in the lobby, we're going on a missions trip. Just to put all that down and say to the boss, can't come to work today or can't finish my work day, got to go. I think even in our culture, the reaction would be the same, that people would look at you rather strangely. And yet, that is exactly what the calling is, to put down what seems important to us and recognize the greater importance of a calling from Jesus. And I wonder if Jesus pulled up in an Uber in the parking lot, would I just leave my car and say, I'm off? You know, would I do that? Would I go to some faraway place never to return to my house? James and John were in a boat getting ready to cast their nets with their father. What would their father think at the loss of his business partners, his sons, the people who were going to carry out the work? What did Joseph and Mary think about Jesus not pursuing his career as a carpenter? Because survival of the family, in many ways the community, depended on sons pursuing the careers of their father. One did not grow up and think, what am I going to be when I grow up? One grew up thinking, I'm going to learn the trade of my father and my grandfather that was passed down from one generation to the next. And the other thing that struck me as odd this week, I had started off in the passage right in the calling, and then when Renata sent me the bulletin, I realized that it began at verse 12. And so I backed up and read the piece that just came before this calling. And that changes things profoundly as well for me, because the passage talked about John was imprisoned for his faith. Jesus was John's cousin. And we know from the coming out of the Christmas season that they were born within a few months of each other. Did they know when they said yes to this calling that they were saying yes to being associated with someone who would be politically assassinated? Did they know that Jesus and his disciples would be martyrs for their faith? Had they heard the news of John in their smaller communities? What was the communication? I mean, we knew it was small town, so there was probably a good chance that they had heard of the disturbances. What was it about this encounter with Jesus that made them say yes so instantaneously and completely? Because, I mean, we walk around the streets, well, in downtown Toronto, people that hear all kinds of weird and wonderful things and approach you, what would make Jesus different? What were the connections? What were the connections between Jesus and John and the people that he was asking, and John, who knew what when? Was a very interesting question to me. And surely, if they didn't know in that moment what had happened to John, if you heard later, wouldn't you say, this sounds like a good idea, Jesus, but I'm heading back to my fishing net, because that sounds a whole lot safer. And the incredible commitment that calling would have been as it unfolded whether before or after. And if I'm called, and we are called, do we live our life with the same abandon? Ready to leave that which is important for that which is eternal. And when I think of who Jesus chose, including myself, it seems rather odd. Because when we stop and think about it, Jesus, at the age of 12, was teaching in the temple and impressing the religious elite. And yet, that is not his choice. There's not a Pharisee or a Sadducee or important political figure among them. Just a bunch of people trying to eke out a living in a world that seemed just as frightening and unpredictable as our world does. He is calling the average Joe or the plain Jane. Sorry to the Joes and the Janes in this congregation. In the absence of being called by Jesus, there is nothing remarkable about these men. And yet, in Christ and in their calling, they are remarkable. If we are called, are we able to hear the calling? Because Jesus is calling them in their humanity, in their frailty, in the way that they are just plain, nothing special about them. There's fishermen all over that village at that time. Why them? But yet chosen. The passage tells us Jesus had returned to the region after he had heard that his beloved cousin John was jailed. John, who essentially bothered no one, lived in a remote community in the desert, and whose most radical act was baptism, getting people wet in the Jordan River. He was jailed, and yet Jesus chose to move on, to continue calling for those who would become his disciples. In the midst of his own crisis, which would only progress to John being beheaded unfairly, he continued to preach and to call and heal and to bring good news. And our calling is always in spite of what is going on around us. We don't have any excuses because Jesus had no excuses. Jesus did, however, call his disciples in a language that was familiar to them. In today's language, we talk about transferable skills. On the one hand, Jesus is calling them away from their life and skills, and on the other, he's asking them to make their life and skills about kingdom work. Jesus asks them to be fishers of men, to fish for people to come into the kingdom of God. So I wonder if God is calling you, just what are your transferable skills? My mom used to say she evangelized with her oven. She baked beautiful cakes to celebrate many occasions and countless meals for people who were sick or new parents or just needed a break in their day. She rarely got up to speak in front of a group. She's one of the quietest people you would have ever met. She could be in a church for years, except she was the pastor's wife, and not be known. And yet, this is the way that she transferred her skills into the kingdom of God. Can we reflect for a few minutes on our skills and gifts and listen for a voice that might be calling us to use them? What are the strengths, gifts, wisdom, and resources that God finds within this church that he might be calling out into the wider world? I think our world has become rift with people looking for perfection. For those of you that are on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, on the news, we see all kinds of people crossing finish lines and races, holding up their hands in victory. But nobody ever posts one of them, somebody falling down halfway through, just looking for the Gatorade line to try and replenish themselves. Everybody posts pictures of that perfect meal that they baked, never the one they burnt, right? They put on their perfect pictures of clothing in the newspapers and never the one that makes them look dumpy and fat, right? Jesus didn't even wait to see if they were successful fishermen. They weren't in the waters hauling up tons and tons of fish. They were mending their nets. They were on the shores. Jesus didn't even look to see how successful they were. And in a world that calls us to many things and tugs at us and makes us believe that we are not good enough, Jesus reassures us that whatever we are doing, that who we are in our daily lives is enough for kingdom work. Jesus saw into the hearts of each one of his disciples that he chose and recognized at least one thing. They would listen and they would follow. And it's my prayer for myself and my prayer for the church that I can have that heart, that the Church of Jesus Christ can have that heart and listening ear and discerning spirit. We are called to bring every manner of healing to our world. We are called to bring good news to a world that desperately needs to hear good news. We are called to bring greater harmony to the ecological world that surrounds us. We are called to bring good news to the sick. We are called to bring our gifts to the world and kingdom work. So as we move into that time of prayer and offering, may we also offer ourselves and our ears to hear that calling. Amen.